B-Pod Studios.
It's TMR.
It really is just a reality check. It's just how no one cares.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Dutcher and Rich, and I got tickets to give away. Let me do so now, because I have a feeling people will be clamoring for these. Car number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group. Contest line 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to see the Patriots take on Carolina tomorrow night at Gillette Stadium for the final preseason home game. Be listening all day for other chances to win. Keep it locked for your preseason ticks.
Mm-hmm.
Caller number 10, 617-931-0985.
Maybe you'll see a fight. That's kind of what we're looking forward to now. I think that there's obviously some real bad blood between these teams. Yeah, it seems like, what's his name? The dude that got cracked, Christian Wilkerson, that was a concussion hit. He's going to be out for the near future. And Slater sounded pissed. Like, as I said, when Slater's pissed, and you rarely hear Slater being pissed, he speaks like, it's almost like the nerd voice goes away. He sounded like a normal human being yesterday.
Yeah, well.
It was very strange. Like, here's just like a quick clip of him speaking with anger, and it sure does sound different than, you know, when he's talking about seasonal allergies.
Yeah, I mean, look, I got a teammate down on the field who's now being medically evaluated off-site, I mean, that's cause for concern.
Which grinds my gears.
I mean, we're not going to sit here and celebrate those type of plays. That's not how you do it.
My allergies start acting up a little bit.
It's two different voices.
Why do they have to take them off-site? I could have done the medical evaluation.
It's like Urkel and Stefan Urkel. He's like got two different personalities.
Yeah, if you want fisticuffs, you got them, buddy. I mean, if you wanna come over here with the old 1-2, I'll take it. I'll take care of business and mind your own beeswax.
By the way, yes. Speaking of the Patriots, I saw Stephen A. Smith, talking about the whole thing going on with Patricia and Judge, and everyone's having a good time with that. But not much longer after that, Stephen A. Smith, who I like, he announced that he's writing a book, and he's like, "Damn, if I'm going to hold back," and at one point he goes, "I waited for my mother to die before I wrote this, because there's some things that are going to be in it that she might not be proud of her son writing."
Well, about peanut butter.
All right. Well, that would be the best if it was just all about my love of bottoms.
Well, there's going to be just like Chapter 7, asses.
I'm a bottom feeder. I'm a bootylegging hitman to the core. Yeah.
My experience with asses.
always ass.
I just was like, get ready. I'm not going to hold back. I had to wait for my mother to die to do this.
I've been waiting. Woman, why won't you die? So I can write this book.
Damn if I'm holding back.
It's going to be like me on two sweet cheeks.
Well, here's what Stephen A. Smith.
Hold me back.
Here's what he had to say.
We making too big of a deal over the fact that Matt Patricia and Joe Judge are there. The hell is about Bill Belichick? Is he the greatest coach in the history of the NFL or not?
Yeah.
Or not. That's all. I'm not worried about Matt Patricia or Joe Judge. They needed a job. After the job they did in Detroit and New York, respectively, the brothers needed a job.
They needed employment back. Yeah.
Okay? Bill Belichick looked out for them. It ain't like Bill Belichick is going to just hand the reins to them. He will oversee. He will dissect. He will counsel. He will tutor. He will coach. This is what he does. This is what he does. And he does it at an elite level.
You know what Matt Patricia and Joe Judge are?
Always ass.
Every time I hear Stephen A. Smith, I think of subtitles. You know, and all subtitles with Stephen A. Smith are in capital letters.
Oh, sure.
You know what I'm saying?
You're at the hotel or at the airport, yeah. And you know all the volumes. As Fred has said before, I mean, the percentage of people that watch First Take with the volume up is like 2%.
Just everything's capital letters.
That was built to be on in bars that have just opened in restaurants and airport lounges.
They had ESPN on the night before.
Right.
I just remember when I worked at restaurants, when we got into work, like Keanu Tom would be on the TVs because ESPN had been on the night before.
Yes.
I mean, even Corey Everett at the time was not so bad. I was fighting with my woman, and she was in another room. She was in another room packing, and her ass was in my room still. And I smelled the distinct smell of butts and got very excited. And then she started putting on small clothes and ripping them.
I don't know if he's into that. I mean, he's not into Miss Fluff, I don't believe.
Ooh.
He said that one time, though. He's like, you know, I was with a woman.
Yes. And, he said that he was that he loves asses so much. Mm-hmm. That he was fighting with a woman, and she was in one room packing, but her ass was so big that her ass was still, like, in his view.
Is this it right here? Let me see if this is it.
I thought it was handled so big.
No, that's not it. I can't find it. It's weird. But, yeah, where he was, like, he was at some panel about what it's like to be in love with women or something like that, and they were all talking about these, you know, what makes a woman sexy. And that was the big thing. He was like, man, this girl, her butt was huge. Like, she was in one room, but her ass was in the other room. Mm-hmm.
Men are from Mars. Women have big, big asses.
I don't think that's the name of the book, Fred. I think you got that wrong.
That's the name of my book. That's going to be the name of my book.
That's right.
Men are from Mars. I love big butts.
That's a book that needs to be written.
I'm an alien. Nanu, nanu. Look at that ass.
Stephen A. Mork? Was that what that was?
Like a little won Mork an Emmy Award for that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a bootlegging hitman to the court.
I put my legs over the back of the passenger seat, and I sit on it upside down, so maybe by accident you sit on my face.
That's how Mork
okay. rode in the car.
Okay, it was backwards.
No, yeah, Mork.
I don't remember much of that show at all.
You don't remember the opening sequence when he's in the Jeep with Ben Dauber and he's got his legs over the back of the seat because he sits on it the wrong way.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember much of that show. That was almost like that early memory stuff that's fuzzy. I don't know what's going on.
You didn't remember that they worked at the music store?
Yes.
No. Where they sold the instruments?
Yeah, the bald guy who's Pam Dauber's dad in this thing, right? He was the actor? Yeah, he was the conductor. There's the thing where he's waving his conductor's wand at the beginning of the show.
Yes. And then they go from the theme to the classical while he's mm-hmm. doing that conducting.
Her body was in the bedroom, but the booty was sticking outside of it.
Remember how he had to, like, apologize for doing that? Like, he had to apologize? Like, you know, I realize that I work for the Disney Corporation, and there's certain things that I got to keep to myself. But maybe this book, he's not going to hold back. He's not going to hold back, he said.
Oh, no. She's going to suffocate me with that ass.
I did it.
Yeah, she was enormous. In the small clothes.
Enormous.
Yes. All right. Well, he seemed awfully upset about Patricia and Judge getting harshly criticized. He felt like the need to yell.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he feels about that subject. It's too much for him. It was too much. What did you think about that, Miss Fluff?
I did it.
Right. Miss Fluff, if you can hear me, will you rip some clothes, please?
Ooh.
All right, thank you. You're very feminine, even when you're ripping clothes that are too small for you.
She was a joy, and she's gone too soon. She's alive, from what I know.
Well, we don't know if she's alive or not. What, Miss Fluff, what won't you do for money?
Fart, yeah.
I know you won't. You've angered so many people by not doing that.
Make a couple farts.
No, you wouldn't do that.
You wouldn't even do that. You couldn't even be bothered to do that, Ms. Fluff. All right. Chad Graff, who covers the Patriots for The Athletic, is going to join us in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
It's called the Toucher and Rich Show, but you can't forget Waller.
You explain it to me, John. Explain
honey,
it.
Honey, did you call him honey?
I did.
This is like the argument I had with my wife last night.
Pull it.
Now, more Toucher and Rich.
I've been to a lot of joint practices with the Patriots, with Bill Belichick as the head coach, and I just lead off by saying these have been the most disappointing with the Panthers the last 2 days. After what unfolded Tuesday with multiple player ejections, it was shocking to me to see what unfolded today. More ejections. Patriots didn't like it when Kenny Robinson, defensive back, seemed to be standing over Christian Wilkerson. Some debate if he was sort of taunting him or not, but he got thrown out of practice. Then Dietrich Wise, shortly thereafter, with an over-aggressive hit on Christian McCaffrey, led to a big scrum. Wise was thrown out. Chuba Hubbard of the Panthers, and more Panthers actually should have been thrown out. Should have seen what happened after. They were sort of throwing haymakers. Looked like, to be honest, professional wrestling. Sort of embarrassing.
And now here comes another fight. Another
Jesus
major
Christmas
fight. It's happening right in front of the stands.
These guys are a-holes, man.
It's going to involve...
Get these clowns out of here.
Oh, they're right up against the stands.
And all they want to do is fight. This is unreal. I've never seen anything like this.
Yes.
Players are coming from the other field
now. And again, all the players from
Here come the opposite field. Look at the linemen go.
Are now running in.
This is like cattle.
We are Toucher and Rich. Chad Graff covers the Patriots for The Athletic. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Graff, hello.
Hello. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. Good to talk to you. So, you know, there's been all these fights here the last couple of days with Carolina. What's your read on that? You know, Mike Reese seemed very well. He didn't seem. He said he was very disappointed. Do you look at this in any way positively?
I don't know if I would look at it super positively, but I also don't know that it's a major drawback. These things do tend to happen a bit in joint practices. This was certainly well beyond, I think, what we have typically seen. One day you might get some pushing and shoving, maybe a couple of punches thrown. I still think that football fights are as silly and strange as it gets. They're in full pads. Often, like, their hands are taped, they're wearing helmets, shoulder pads on, and they're throwing haymakers. Like, what are you going to do if you connect? You're almost lucky if you keep missing. And then the other kind of weird part of it is they mentioned there's two practice fields. One has the fight, and then the other one is looking over like, are we going to run halfback dive right now? Or, like, do we run over there? So they run over like, you know, a bullpen coming out for a baseball fight, just a little light jog, like, it'll probably look good on film if I'm here to defend my guys, even though I know by the time I get there, this thing's going to be cleared up. So the whole thing was pretty strange.
Well, there was Zolak was saying, I guess after the second fight, Robert Kraft like was in the huddle with Bill Belichick afterwards. What's going on there? Is that a sign of, or what does that mean anything to you?
I don't think so. He was here for the James White retirement ceremony the night before. So he's out on the field, and I didn't put too much stock in it. Oh, he's out there because he's in town and he's checking things out. And then, of course, they have fights on, like, massive fights in front of the stands on back-to-back plays. And I'm sure if I'm Robert Kraft, the owner, I'm looking around like, God, this is on my field. I kind of feel obligated to say something. I wondered if Belichick was actually going to come over and start scolding some Panthers players. Like, you got the pedigree to say whatever you want. The whole thing was just bizarre. And I also don't know why they're really practicing kickoffs. Matt Rhule defended it and said, you know, it wasn't supposed to be full contact. It was supposed to be three quarters. But kickoffs are a play that the NFL is looking at to just get rid of entirely because of how many concussions they yield. And then you're going to break them out for a practice between guys who don't know each other. And, you know, if you're on kickoff, you're probably one of those guys on the roster bubble fighting for a playoff spot. So, of course, you're going to go a little bit hard. And it wasn't even the hit, really, that Patriots players took exception to that led to Wilkerson's concussion. It was the way that the Panther safety, Kenny Robinson, kind of stood over him and taunted mm-hmm. it a little bit.
How much does the fact that the Patriots really don't know this team, that Bill Belichick doesn't really know Matt Rhule, contribute to what we saw the last couple of days? Because usually Bill schedules these games against all coaches that he knows.
Like Sean Payton back in the – right. Like,
yeah,
you know,
I mean,
he's got a relationship.
It's Dayball in week one. I mean, yeah. he has working knowledge of the organization and the head coach. This is one of those rare times where he doesn't and this happens.
It wasn't. So they're going to Vegas to see Josh McDaniels next week, an example of, you know, going to hang out with the guys that you know, and everything is scripted that way. And McDaniels learned from Belichick. They all do everything the same way. It is a little bit weird to do it with somebody who Belichick said they have some mutual friends from the Temple days, but it doesn't sound like he and Matt Rhule are buddies by any stretch of the imagination. And so they come up with a plan together of, all right, we're going to do special teams here, and then we'll go 7-on-7, whatever. They claim that they stress the message, hey, if you throw a punch, if you get in a fight, you're getting kicked out. I don't know exactly how hard they stress that, because it apparently fell on some deaf ears, not just one day, but 2 days. And the first day was, you know, it was a sizable training camp fight. It was noteworthy, but it was the second day yesterday that really the haymaker started getting thrown. And just the fact that it happened right in front of the fans, where apparently, you know, Wise, who's a massive dude, 6'5 and 2 whatever, is falling into a lady in the stands. That's where they decided to pump the brakes and said, you know what, we're going to take a 10-minute pause on practice, and you sit here and think about your actions.
Now, did the woman, like, take a look and just start screaming and saying, oh, the pain, and then they gave her tickets?
Whiplash!
Right. I heard they did appease her. They gave her tickets to a game. I would have gone all in. I would have said, I want to own the DraftKings end zone bar. All the receipts are mine now.
It'd be like in the days before the netting at the baseball parks. The bat comes and you get nicked maybe by the barrel of the bat just on your shoulder. Oh, my God. I think I'm going to need a signed jersey here and a signed ball and season right. tickets. I was also picturing just kind of the fans at hockey games banging on the glass. And that's her. And then all of a sudden, like, oh, that glass just crashed and now I'm in big trouble. She seemed like she was fine. Could have been worse, but just surreal that it happened right in front of those fans. And, you know, on a play that realistically should have been avoided, Wise, the Patriots defensive end, would probably tell you that Christian McCaffrey was still inbounds on his way out of bounds. Christian McCaffrey would probably say, dude, I'm the biggest star out here. I'm running out of bounds in a training camp.
Hurt every year. In that case, like, with that – and I understand, I guess you would, I don't know if you'd agree, but like, it sounds like Carolina was culpable and like, and kind of responsible for the fights, but that I don't blame them for the McCaffrey thing. Like, you don't hit it. I don't want you touching him. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
the first one, the special teams was Carolina's fault. Dumb play. Yes. Don't stand over the guy. That was dumb. The second one, like, if there's one guy out on the field to leave alone, it'd be Christian McCaffrey. You probably could have sacked Sam Darnold and not had that same reaction.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah.
You do that to Christian McCaffrey, you're asking for trouble.
And by the way, there's nothing better than telling guys who are trying to make the cut and do everything they can to impress to play at three-quarters speed, because I'm sure that's what they want to do. I'm sure that's exactly the way to make this team. I'll just lightly tackle you. That'll get noticed. But that leaves a big question for tomorrow night. And I know everyone is dying to see this first unit out there trying to figure out offensively, is it as bad as everyone has been saying? But there's also another mindset where you're taking a look at, you know, this offensive line, Chad. And I know that David Andrews got hurt yesterday. I think he might have like left for a little bit, or I know that there was a report that he'd been hurt. And I'm wondering, do you put Mac Jones out there if this offensive line is either injured or not ready to go? It's a weird decision that it seems like the team has to make before tomorrow night.
It's a weird decision. And remember, this Panthers team is also the team that started everything last year with grabbing Mac Jones's leg and all that. And granted, Mac Jones has said everybody's made up, no hard feelings in that situation. But I still think, even given all that, even, you know, the fights that have happened and everything, I still think I would play him, just because I think you want some sort of logistical, you know, continuity as week one comes, of Mac Jones knowing who's going to be in his ear and understanding, hey, when I go to the sideline, am I going to Joe Judge? Am I going to Matt Patricia? Am I going to Bill Belichick? Like, what in the world am I doing when we go three and out and I want to say, hey, I didn't like that play call, I want to change some things here. So I think you probably do need to, you know, have maybe just two series, get some sort of flow going. You can be super vanilla. You don't have to run really much of anything. I wouldn't put a ton of stock into whatever happens with how they perform. But I think you probably, even given all the fights, which is crazy to say, I think you probably want him out there just to get a sense of how the operation is going to run.
Yeah. So what are you expecting if they do roll him out? Like, you just a couple sets of downs, or what are we looking at?
I think it could be the whole first quarter or two or three series, depending on how those series go. If they're three and out, maybe you tack on an extra one. Mac Jones was pretty good yesterday. It's kind of been an up and down training camp for the offense, but I think you would want to give them, you know, probably a full quarter to get things under them. Even if you don't play David Andrews, you know what you got in him. You're not trying things out there. So I would give him a little bit of a shot. And it just hasn't been an ideal training camp for him in terms of the defense has been a bit ahead. That continued this week. So maybe you look at it and say, maybe the defense is just that good because they're dominating the Panthers. On the other hand, you know, that's Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield and the pillow fight of the century in that quarterback competition.
Mayfield's, you know, he's got the star, baby. So, I mean, that's it.
That's right.
The pillow, he's got the heavier pillow. There's no question.
They traded a fifth-round pick for a guy who seems like their no-brainer starter, which, you know, really must inspire Carolina fans as they're wondering how much longer Matt Rhule is going to be around.
Well, it sounds like Aguilar's not going to get cut now. It sounds like, I mean, everything I'm reading is that over the last week or so, he's done everything he can to claw his way onto this, you know, stay onto this roster. I know there was bubble talk for a while, but is that the way you see it? Is he basically the guy? And who is the odd man out now?
Yeah, he had probably the catch of the day yesterday. Triple coverage, went over, brought it down in the end zone. I think if they could have traded him, given he's their most expensive player on the cap on offense this year, which is wild to think about, if they could have traded him, I think, you know, they happily would have and moved on. But I think you got to keep him now. You got to keep Myers. You're probably going to keep Bourne. You're going to keep Tyquan Thornton. So I think you feel good about the level of depth that you have at wide receiver. You certainly would rather have like a number one, but I think you feel good. And that way, you know, your whole goal is to ideally play two tight ends. But if you start to get away with that, if Smith struggles a bit, you can get into some 11 personnel stuff with three wide receivers. And I think feel reasonably good, especially given how, you know, the second round pick, the rookie Tyquan Thornton, has looked. I think that gives you a lot of confidence.
All right. Very good, Chad Graff. Read his Patriots coverage in The Athletic. We appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, Chad. Right. Appreciate it.
We appreciate it. All right, here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Right now.
It's like they're all on laughing gas.
It's Tutcher and Rich.
Slow. Yeah, everything's in slow motion.
On Boston's home for sports.
These are the kind of people that take snoozes under trees.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The microphone.
I'm going to have to hold the mic.
Uh-oh.
During this break.
More problems?
It's not a problem. It just, it's like clamped onto the table. And you know what? Give me literally 30 seconds.
Okay. Help. Sure.
Dan, tease the Patriots tickets and let me just fix this mic.
Okay, be listening at 9:50 this morning for your chance to score a pair of tickets to see the Patriots take on Carolina tomorrow night at Gillette Stadium for the final preseason home game. Then it says be listening all day for other chances to win. That is coming up at 9:50.
Oh, right,
there you go.
Nice, very nice. Put the camera back on, Fred. I want to see it. Is there a way only we can see it and the people not see it?
I'm back. Reserve.
Okay. Oh, good, good, good. Yeah, that was that. Hey, 30 seconds. You did it, man. That was
there
easy.
You go.
All right. So I just talked to my wife. I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice guys, fans of the show. They did a fantastic job. I had guys come in yesterday and install a new air conditioning system. It was $12,000.
Whoa.
Is that the normal price? I've never had to... Did they put in an entire new system?
Yes. And so my question... So Stephanie's like, I feel bad about not tipping them. And I said, if I'm paying $12,000, I'm not tipping anybody. Nice and they were fans of the show, but I think that... If you are responsible for installing something that's $12,000, I would have to imagine that you are a highly trained and skilled worker, and I don't think I owe anyone any more money.
I've never thought of the home repair. Like, if it's a company, I've never thought of that being a tipping business. It's different if it's a handyman who's coming over and doing something, on call. But if it's a company, you know, that would almost be like tipping the guy who, the company that repaired your car. It would be like going to the dealership to get a car repair and then tipping them.
I'll tip the guy from like DirecTV. I tip most people that do work at the house. But if it's $12,000.
Yeah, I don't mind I've never thought of it that way. If it was like a big project like that
right.
costs you thousands upon thousands of dollars, I've never thought of that. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it is a tipping thing. I don't know, but I've never thought of it that way.
I agree. Unfortunately, in my house, I've never had to spend that much money on repairs, but I've spent a significant amount of money when one AC unit went out and we had to get it redone. I didn't tip after that. I think I don't know what the line is, but there's a certain line you go over where you're like, okay, I'm paying enough money. I'm not paying anything on top of this.
Because when you tip, I mean, obviously it's not a percentage because that would be a ridiculous amount of money.
No.
You're just talking about like $100, give him like $100 or something? Or is that what she was kind of insinuating?
No. Yeah. Well, you don't like tip 20% on $12,000. Yeah. give everyone like $20, but I'm not doing that. It was too much money. I'm not doing that.
I've never thought of that. Like a company that came, like if somebody, like a company painted your house or something, I've never thought of that being like a tipping industry.
Yeah, thanks you know for I mean? Listening to the show, but I mean, we appreciate it, but my goodness.
You know, I maybe I'm wrong. Heck, maybe this is something I need to be educated on, but I've never heard of that happening. And maybe no, I've been able for everyone who's done that before. I did not tipped. I'm not sure.
No, if people are like installing cable or doing stuff like that, I generally tip them, but I don't, but not when something is that outrageously expensive. But they did bring over sweatshirts.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
Someone said I had to replace my AC 2 weeks ago. $14,000. He said, I never even thought about tipping, and now I'm afraid I was a dick.
No.
And then there's somebody here that says, tipping the installers is definitely just a nice gesture because they normally don't get much of a bonus. $12,000 for the unit is actually right about the market price for a new unit. Wow. That's crazy. I mean, but I guess if you had to put a whole new unit in there and they had to install it and then do other work, I could see why it might be that expensive. It's just that number really stood out. That's a lot.
Yes. It stood out to me too, Rich. Believe me, it wasn't. I didn't think it was like great. I mean, I wasn't excited about the notion.
That's one of the few times where you ask yourself, can I survive the next month and a half without air conditioning?
No. When you go without air conditioning for 2 weeks, and it broke down, just happened to be the hottest stretch in the history of New England is when it broke down. No, I want air conditioning. It was worth every penny. Yeah,
that's a big deal.
And I don't know why. Somebody just tweeted and said, I just tipped the furniture delivery guys. Now I feel like I've been robbed. But no. That industry I would normally tip. For some reason, I don't know where the line is. You would always tip a delivery guy.
You tip movers. You tip. Listen, do whatever you want. But I'm just telling you, if you do something in my house that's $12,000, first of all, I look at you as a trained you have a skill that you trained for, so that's something different. And also, I'm giving your company $12,000. I'm not paying a cent more.
Somebody just said, I work in the trades. You don't tip the installers.
Yes, all right. That's
okay. But
Stephanie's the one who felt bad.
Let's go to John first. John on line one. John, what's up? John.
Hello?
Hey, what's up,
man? Are you there?
Hey.
Hey, so I've had multiple things done in my house, new AC unit, new furnace, new everything. And I've always tipped the installers for all of it. I had a new front deck put in. I tipped the guys the
John, I don't mean to put you on hold, but I'm looking for somebody who works in the industry and whether it's expected. That I want to know.
I want to know, do you tip Miss Fluff when she rips her clothes?
She does it for tips, if I'm not mistaken.
I'll pay you $5 a fart.
That's right. And then maybe you give her a little bit extra. Somebody said, would you tip your doctor? No, you wouldn't.
So that's the thing, is that, again, I look at you as a skilled craftsman or a tradesman. I don't know. It's $12,000. I'm not paying anymore.
So a guy said that he paints houses. Maybe one out of every 20 customers tip. It's not expected. They said it's not expected to do it. So maybe they're not angry. They're just disappointed in you, Fred. That might be the case.
I think that they were aware of how much this project cost.
let's go to Luke on line three.
I mean, I don't live in a mansion. $12,000 is a lot of money to me. This is something I have to plan for. All right, go ahead.
Luke, what's up, man?
Okay, so moving company, we don't get paid as much as we deserve.
I tip a moving company.
I would always tip a moving company. That's something I do tip. Absolutely. And I don't know why I draw the line. I don't know why.
No, because it's unskilled labor.
Yeah, no, it's I agree.
You know, we get jack shit, and we...
All right, there you go. I already said I tip movers. And I tipped the movers when I moved here, who slept in my front yard in Atlanta the night before the move.
Did you tip your batting cage installer, someone wants to know?
No, that was $10,000.
Okay.
Did I tip them? I don't know. It was the guy's company. So no, I didn't like I think the guys all got there was a sales guy who got a percentage of the sale, and then it was the company.
I always, you know what? I don't know if
I wasn't around. I wasn't around when they installed when they installed that.
Tipping that involves giving money hand to hand always makes me feel awkward. I hate it. I tipping on a receipt or a screen, I'm fine with because it's kind of impersonal. But at that point, it's almost you might have a rapport with somebody you're talking, and then it's oh yeah, here, I'm giving you money. It just seems to me a little odd.
I wasn't around when they did the batting cage, and I wasn't around when they did the shed, so I don't know. I don't know. I wasn't around for either of those. I was out, so I couldn't tell you. But I mean, I did. But the batting cage was really expensive too. So I don't. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I did. Maybe Stephanie did. I don't know. I don't know what happened.
Someone's saying don't tip the trades. It's not like parts and labor costs, $12,000. They're passing the cost through there, and there's a significant markup.
That's what I figured. I figured that you're a tradesman. It's almost a compliment.
I can't tell when it's insulting to tip somebody. You know what I mean?
It's never insulting to give someone money. It's never insulting to give someone money. I'm not worried about insulting them. I think a way to look at it is if it's unskilled labor, maybe you should tip. That's a delivery driver, a mover, something of that nature. Like when someone comes like and delivers like a bed and like puts it together, like you probably tip them. But like, but if you're installing a $12,000 air conditioning system, you obviously have had training. I think that's considered skilled labor.
This is kind of funny. Let me go to Craig. Craig on line four. What's up, Craig?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Hey.
Yeah, so I've been in business for a while. I do carpentry and painting and stuff like that. Recently, I just got a pretty good sized tip and actually a nice bottle of wine. But you know, I mean, I've been doing this for over 20 years, and I've probably had like 3 or 4 tips.
Okay, all right.
So it's all right. Definitely, I don't expect it. When I get it, it's like amazing, you know, but it's just completely random and it's not necessary at all. But I do think some people do tip because they want you to come back, you know, and they want you to, you know, be ready when they need something done. So if you do have, say, a painter or a carpenter or something that's really good, it's probably good to tip if you're in high demand and high need of, you know, services on your house or something. But other than that, you know, it's completely up to you. It's not expected, in my opinion.
I think you're correct. Tim Morrison on Twitter says, $10,000 for a batting cage, $12,000 for a new AC unit, # Freddie Big Pockets. Yeah, I didn't know that $12,000 for the AC unit was coming.
That's not something. It's like I'm just throwing around money. You probably would have rather not spent $12,000 for a new AC unit.
No, that wasn't. I didn't like when I put in the batting cage. I didn't think, I got another $12,000, and the Bronco's going to come in, and everything else under the sun is all going to be happening at once. No. I didn't think that this economically I was going to get hit like this.
Listen, even if like one of these places charges a delivery fee, because that happens all the time. Someone was asking about that. You still tip. Like you still tip when they go there.
Because the delivery fee
goes to them, you know?
No. You got to tip the delivery. Now, you don't have to tip the delivery 20%.
Mm-hmm.
You can tip the delivery 15%. I don't think you'd have to tip the delivery guy like a waiter, because they're not servicing you the whole time. They're just dropping off food.
I just wonder if there's anyone who's gotten offended before when someone tried to tip them. Like you're somebody who doesn't normally get it and you got offended. Because that's a fear that I have. That's a fear that I have when I have that quandary. Like, should I tip or should I not? It's not about whether I should keep my money. It's about, am I going to look like an a-hole trying to hand this person money who usually doesn't get it?
I don't think anyone would get offended if you handed them money.
I think you
might be wrong. I think there might be people who have some pride who would take it almost personally. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's just an irrational fear that I have. But there's something inside of me that always thinks, is this guy going to think I'm a dick by trying to tip them?
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about that.
No.
Okay. Maybe I'm wrong. Everyone
likes free money. Everybody.
No one's too rich. There's probably
to get
no
free
one
money.
Who would call saying they were offended by getting offered a tip. I'm sure I'm the only one who thinks that way. But it just seems.
I mean,
weird.
if you met a girl and went and had sex with her and then left an envelope of money on top of the dresser, there might be a chance that she's offended. You thought she was a prostitute.
Yes.
But other than that. I wouldn't worry about handing people money. They generally, well, the weird thing is belonging to like a club where you're not supposed to tip, but then people do tip. Yeah. So like, but you're not supposed to tip like every time.
Mm-hmm.
That's an incredibly strange situation. Like what the hell am I supposed to give you money for? Do I have to give you money if bringing out my golf bag? Like, what do I have to give? I have to give money to? I don't. Yeah, that's a like. There's places that you can go where you're not supposed to tip, but then people do tip, and then that's where that gets all crazy. And
so, instead, I work with families as a social worker, and I don't like getting tips. That seems like a weird place to tip.
I mean, come on. That's not a service. It, that, like that's not a like a trade or a service. That's, I don't know. That's, again, well, you're not allowed to tip teachers, but they'll take the hell out of school supplies.
Someone says, I would say offended, but when some old prick thinks they're big time by giving you a couple bucks and says, go buy a soda, that's annoying as hell.
Well, that's just,
where is this guy hanging out?
Well, that's
get
just,
yourself a soda.
Well, that's just that's right. Being offended they didn't give you more money.
Yeah.
That's not being offended at the idea of someone handing you money. That's that's the idea of just, you know. Yeah, you're better off just not giving people money if you're just going to hand them $2. Yeah, then you're better off just not doing anything. The worst is when you only have, like, 20s, and you're like, eh.
Oh, then you just say, all right, well, there you go. There's 20.
Yeah, there's. Yeah, it depends on the day. Sometimes sometimes I might be like, eh, let's just... I've actually said to people, I only have 20s. What do you want out of me?
Well, that's the Curb Your Enthusiasm one. It was like, you know, I have this 20, but I got to tip you. Can you just give him 10 of the 20? Because I can't give you 20 because that's crazy. And then the other guy gets pissed off because he never ended up getting the $10. He screws up. Excuse me. You didn't tip me. I did. I gave him 20. He was supposed to give you 10.
Yes. I've that's I think something everyone's been involved in. All right. Very good. Well, now I hope I hope Stephanie can feel better about the whole thing. There was no way I was giving a dime more than 12 grand. All right, we will be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.